Hello and welcome to the episode 25 of the Epic Florida Project. I'm Simon, one of the hosts. The other host is either to my left or to my right, I can't tell. But the other host is Phil. How are you doing, buddy?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Well, I was going to do that next.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want that. You can't beat me all the time. Tough.
So, Christmas, Happy New Year. We are into 2022. This is the first episode of the year. So, we're just going to be a quick rundown of what we're going to be doing tonight, whenever you're watching this.
Next year.
We're going to give you a quick update of what's happening around the parks and down International Drive and other areas that we've got. A few little niggling, which is not much news to be honest, but we'll get a little bit. And then we're going to go straight into Phil's trip report because he's recently been to the wonderful land that is Orlando. I'm going forward, hopefully. So, fingers crossed. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see what he's doing. If you're not and you're listening to this, he showed a big bag of Twizzlers.
Yes.
Phil loves his Twizzlers. So, right, let's get into it. Any news from the park you know of?
Let me have a look to this quickly. I'm professional.
While you're doing that, I'll just give you an update. The Orlando Star, they're not Star, by Orlando Slingshot and World's Tallest Drop Tower is now officially open. It opened on the 28th of December. There's mixed packages. If you want to, there's plenty of videos out there to show you how much things are. It all ranges from $15 a ride up to a package of $85, and you can do combo ones of $119. Different things you can do for all three, the Starflyer, the Orlando Drop Tower, and the Slingshot. Go and have a look at their website. I'll send Phil the links. We can put it in the description. Get yourself over to there, because if we can, like we said, if we can get to a thousand subscribers.
A thousand, not 11,000.
A thousand subscribers. On YouTube, we said we will go on the Orlando Slingshot live. We can't take the camera on with us, but we can show you us going up and down and getting on and off. And you can show our instant reaction to it. But we need to have 1,000 subscribers for that. So if you can, thank you very much. And
no, there's no real news, mate, apart from the annual pass holder stuff. And I presume you know all that anyway.
Yeah, well, the annual pass holder stuff is they've taken away the magnets and pins.
Oh.
Upset. Pingate, I believe it's been called. But, yeah, well, put it this way, they didn't have to give you anything, so you were getting something for nothing. What's your problem? If you don't like it, tell us why you don't like it in the comments below. But personally, I don't know, it was free. It was a perk. That's what perks are. So they can take them away and put stuff on it as they please.
Well, as I say, they have added one new one. When Surfside had opened first for a few months, and the same for Dockside, they gave pass holder a discount, but they stopped it. Well, as from now, it's back for good. It looks like, apart from, they say holiday periods. Now, I'm not too sure if they mean the whole, like, Mardi Gras, Halloween Horror Nights, because that's, like, September for Halloween Horror Nights.
When you say holiday periods, I think they mean peak periods. I'm doing air quotes. Peak times is when it might be, because it won't be able to keep up with it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But if you're wondering what people for endless summers, this is basically what they're asking. 15% off of Universal Orlando owned and operated merchandise. Most of them already get that anyway. 10% off of all food and non-alcoholic beverages. They could have gave 5% off for that, I think. All dining outlets not valid at special events and holidays. So I did understand they did a Christmas dinner on Christmas Day or so, or New Year's Eve, they did a special dinner as well. So it sounds like you wouldn't get the discount on them. 10% off of Sonic Souvenir Cup, not valid events and holidays. I'm guessing the Souvenir Cup is the one you can refill all the time.
Maybe. I've never heard it be called Sonic before.
Yeah, it's called
the Cult Freestyle.
Yep. It's called a Sonic. I'm just going to go through the other hotels and see if they... Yeah, they're all called 10% off a Sonic Souvenir Cup, not valid special events. Cabana Bay.
That could be the brand of them now. Whether I don't know. We'll have to look into that and we'll let you know.
That's interesting, so, that, is it?
Yeah, these are... Like we said, the only other thing that Phil mentioned just then, a holiday season is coming up at Universal Mardi Gras. It's starting on the 5th of February till the 26th of April. The reason why I know it's the 5th of February, because that's the day I am going to America. So I will be there. Don't know if I'll go in the park that night, because it'll be the first day I actually get there. I might be a bit, because we've got a late flight. But I arrive on the Saturday when it originally starts. So,
fair enough.
We can kind of grass to look forward to.
I will tell you one thing as well, though, mate. Before we go any further, there is one more news from Universal. Rest in peace, Shrek.
Yeah, we're officially recording this on the 9th, then it closes tomorrow, on the 10th.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
Let's be truthful, mate. I loved the pre-show, but the actual show was boring.
Well, you can get it on a DVD. It's
you can watch it on YouTube, I think.
Shrek 2. Is it Shrek 2? It's on the DVD.
I think it's on YouTube as well.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you want, I'm sure other people have referenced this before. All you need to do is stand outside, put it on YouTube, watch it on your phone.
Talking about YouTube, I'm a bit upset with Universal and Peacock because I think they've put a show out on the Velocicoaster. I think that's what it was. I'm sure it's what I heard about. And obviously, people around the rest of the world, we can't actually really get that.
Yeah, I've noticed that. But I'm a bother because I've not been on it yet and I don't want to see any spoilers of it yet. So, but we'll get into that a little bit later on, or maybe now, because I think that might be a very good segue.
Oh, special effects in 2022. And that reminds me, mate, before this comes out, you need to quickly send me the starting video again because it says 2021.
I'll update that, don't worry. Right, so, like we said, this is going to be Phil's trip report. So, if you can put it, we'll start off with a first brief. Can you give us a brief oversight of what your trip was, how long it was? What time of the year you went and where you stayed?
Right, it was a 15-night trip, wasn't planned. What happened, I'm going to quickly explain to people, I was in Tenerife. They announced that America was opening again. My brother took a punt, and I can't remember when he said he was going, November. I was meant to be going back to Tenerife. The longer it took, I cancelled Tenerife and said to him, let's look, it's going to open December. It actually opened before my birthday in November. So we went around December the 5th, 15 nights, flew from Heathrow to MCO, what was a doddle, and stayed at Universal's Endless Summer's Dockside Inn and Suites.
Sorted. So you said you went with BA.
I went with Virgin.
Virgin, sorry.
BA's this year.
Yeah, you went with Virgin. How easy or difficult was it with the new... the old restrictions, which are now...
The new, old, new... Yeah. People, just if you don't care, these bits are going to mean nothing because the restrictions change every 30 seconds, it seems. So it's really simple. You just had to do a lateral flow test before you go the day before. Easy pass that, no problems. We all passed it, so it was simple. I actually then got a National Express from Gatwick because Gatwick wasn't doing flights until this year, 2022. So I got National Express up there. Nice, easy journey up there. Very quiet on the thing. The thing I hate about Heathrow is how big it is and how long the bloody walk takes just to get to the terminal from National Express. But you can actually see that on my first video on my YouTube stuff, what I'll explain later on. Anyway, but there is YouTube videos of me out there. And then I got into the airport because I was early. I just literally went up to a lady, was at a booth on her own, got my passport out, all the forms, I printed them. I can't stand these apps and that, the amount of problems people have with them. Like iFly and whatever anyone's using this day and age. She just looked at them all and then she puts a sticker on the back of the passport, date, and signs it. It's that easy. And then when everyone's there, you go, hand your luggage in, blah, blah, blah. Go airside. Couldn't be easier.
It's not as difficult as some people make out on the online. It's relatively simple. Probably not before the setup.
Don't get me wrong, though. This is off-peak when I went. Yeah. So I can. If you're going in a holiday period, get there as early as possible, I would say to people, and get the stress taken off you.
I know they have started to recommend you arriving 3 hours before checking, before your flight now, rather than two.
What was fine for me, because I had the one lounge.
I'd do four, just to be on the safe side.
Didn't bother me, I had the one lounge.
Well, I personally would go for 4 hours before you get there. If you stayed on site at the airport, even better. But that's just how simple it is. So you were there 15 nights. Obviously, you've gone in the middle of December, which not many people I know have been in December. What was the weather like for the 15 days?
Well, this is interesting. Before we go any further, the first week there, I'm not going to lie, the hotel was ram-packed. Many people wouldn't have known this. But we had the cheerleader stuff going on with all the youngsters, not grown up cheerleaders, youngsters. And there was thousands of them everywhere. You couldn't get away from them. They were excited children at first. I was, oh, go away. I'm tired of a long flight. After that, my mind did change about them. I'm thinking a lot of these kids may not be able to go to places like this ever again in their lives. Let them enjoy themselves, because I'm that type of person anyway. I don't care. I get on with it. I like seeing them all running around, having a laugh, being annoying. And so I'm not going to lie, I actually get pleasure out of watching other people get upset by them. Because just enjoy your holiday. Don't worry what everyone else is doing. Enjoy your own holiday.
Yeah.
So first morning there, shocking. Well, not shocking. It was like being at Halloween Horror Nights, the fog. Oh, you get some serious fog in December and January. It looks like in the morning it's very thick fog. You can't see that far at all out there. I'm not actually joking about that. It was still bloody warm. But it was warm. Yeah, so it was warm. It gave you the feels of Halloween Horror Nights. And it usually cleared up between 10 to 11.30. So 10 a.m. to 11.30. And then literally the first week or so, it was just perfect sun, 25 to 30 Celsius. And no humidity.
Yeah, that's the difference. We usually go in September, October, when humidity is at its highest, and yeah, a bit drier. So obviously you mentioned the weather, you mentioned you've been to Universal. So what other parks did you visit while you were on your trip, and what tickets did you have for them parks?
Right, so obviously Universal, the first night we actually got there, we went up there and me and my brother picked up annual passes that we booked in 2019. Obviously never used them, so Universal, you know, just held them for us until we came out.
Just caveat on that's all on a case-by-case basis. So
yeah, I'll be surprised if that ever happens again now, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I actually got... What pass are we on? I always forget its name. It's over there, but I can't remember. Preferred. And my brother upgraded to Preferred, and his mate, Malvin, actually had a 14-day pass, and he upgraded it to an annual pass to Preferred. Reasons why, he's coming back in September next year, so it made sense. He already knew he was before he'd even been into a park. And yeah, and also we went for they both had to get the Preferred as well, because there was blackout dates at the end.
Right.
So they wouldn't have been able to get in the parks. Other park tickets we're all annual park ticket holders for SeaWorld. So that was nice and easy. I can't remember what the pass is called, sorry people, but it doesn't get you discounts on food and drink. It just gets you in the park. But yet again,
I think they have like maybe gold, platinum, silver and
some weird name one.
Seasonal
one. Yeah, something like that. And yeah, I'm on the bottom anyway. But we've got it because we're back September this year in 2022. So why waste more money buying more tickets? So, you know, it covers the tickets. We also got very lucky from a friend who works at Disney. I'm not going to say his name on it because I'm not sure how it could affect him. But we actually got two free one-day park hopper tickets for Walt Disney World. And Melvin then bought his one. It was damn expensive. But so if you're watching or listening, he's probably not, but if he is, thank you very much. But I can't say your name on here because I know your job, how risky that can get with it. But thank you for them passes. And yeah, we had photo pass as well for Universal as well. A lot of people were having problems with the app. I didn't use the app. I just logged in on a web browser on my phone and all the photos came through.
Yeah, I believe that issue has now been resolved. If you do have photos missing and another date, a rough time of when you can email them and they'll find it and put it in your account.
Well, they'll try because one of our photos, we was on Harry Potter, one of the Potter rides, and the oldest one, the castle actually, and the photo just didn't come through.
Yeah, but like I said, if you know the rough time, you email them that time.
I literally mean when we go up to do the pass bit, you know, to they can scan it, they couldn't find the photo, so it hasn't worked the camera. Fair enough. We got on the ride again anyway, so it didn't matter. So we got the photos.
Yeah, well, I understand that's a fault with the camera, but once if you know your picture's been taken, it's not uploaded, and it's still not on your account, do what I just said. Email them, and they'll try and find it for you. So this was I'll tell you what. We'll go to that one in a minute. So while you was there, you spent most of your time at Universal, but obviously we know you went on International Drive. So where did you eat over the holiday? And is there anywhere you would definitely recommend? And is there any places you would tell people to avoid?
Well, I always say, when I'm going to tell you this stuff, people, you always have to take in fact that you don't know if it's busy at the time you go in there to eat. Chefs can totally ruin or make a meal. as well. So it depends on the chefs at the time. And lack of staff. So I am very much like that when I go out things. So places are weird. Let's go for the ones I didn't really rate this time. It was kind of a letdown. So we're going to start off with one of my favourites, Bubba Gump's. I went for just a basic fish and chip thing there. I've done there many times before, and it's been beautiful. This time, I think Melvin went for a burger, and my brother went for fish and chips as well. And I thought I caught COVID out there. I can't remember what date this was, because I couldn't taste anything from the food, the fish.
Right.
And then Melvin said his burger, he wanted a medium rare. It might as well have been overcooked, a bit of, you know, burnt, because it was terrible. And I just got this suspicion that it wasn't cod. So I think the price you're paying, you should at least get decent fish. And so I said to our server, the servers and that, nothing, can't fault them, great people. Had a good time in there for that. Food wise, no. It was busy as well. It took us an hour till we could get in.
Right.
So yeah, we're in there, and so I said towards the end, can I ask you a question? What fishes get used in the fish and chips? She looked worried straight away, knowing that I knew something was up, and she said it was pollock. As I said before, pollock is the cheap man's cod, as you know for yourself in your previous job, and has no taste to it. It was like rubber, and the sort of prices you're paying to be in that place, I know you're paying for what it looks like in the area you're in, but I still expect proper cod or something like that.
That is the only drawback to when something advertises fish and chips. Anything's a fish. You could even put salmon in there if you wanted to, and it's fish and chips. And unless you're going to a proper English chippy or even an English-American chippy, and they say cod and chips, that's when you know you're getting cod. Other than that, you're more than likely going to get pollock or possibly even haddock at some point. Well, haddock has got a distinctive taste, so you will be able to taste that.
At least I would have tasted haddock.
Yeah.
So put us off. We didn't get any desserts and that, so we couldn't be bothered at. The other place, a lot of people probably do agree with, I just went there because, yet again, we took Melvin. Just to let people know, Melvin's never been to Orlando in his life. He's my brother's best mate. So, you know, we were taking him to places. What would be different? The second one, what was terrible, was T-Rex Calf.
Well, I won't disagree with you there. I've never been in. And when I went there back in 2012, we went to the queue. There was nobody inside. And we said, how long can we have a table for two? It's a 3-hour wait.
That's just ridiculous.
There was nobody inside. And I went, he's joking. He says, no, it's unfortunately we're fully booked for the next 3 hours. Okay. So I just walked away.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. So, all the food was rubbish there again. There's no way about it. The atmosphere, yeah, again, you're paying for the atmosphere. But we had a super long wait. I think it was an hour, 40 minutes to get in there. We were actually there for Disney Springs, so it didn't bother us too much. They actually email you, and then there's a website or something you can look on as well, if I remember right. And it gives you a countdown how long until you're coming through. Eventually, I got bored waiting forever, so I just asked them. And mysteriously, once you go and ask them 5 minutes later, boom. Yeah, weird that. I always find that very strange that happens when it goes over the time. So I waited for the time, and then I had a little, come on, mate, I want some food, I'm starving. Which didn't go there again. Other places, the one that shocked me, it's on International Drive, I can't remember what it's called, it's top of my head now. The one how well do you know I drive?
Relatively well.
Right, do you know the restaurants what are kind of near, I'm trying to go from my camera to find them, kind of near Surfside Inn?
There's a Red Lobster, there's a TGI Fridays.
TGI's is actually shut down Applebee's. Now. Applebee's, that's it. TGI's is actually...
Applebee's. I just rappelling off another one because I remember you telling me this one, so I thought I'd just let you
think. Yeah, TGI's actually has shut down now, down that in near the enclaves. Unfortunately.
Yeah, but there is one over towards
Orlando Eye area.
Opposite Universal.
Oh, right, yeah, but that's not International Drive to me, as far as I can. It's not. Anyway, yeah, so actually, I did go to a TGI's further down near SeaWorld, and that was beautiful.
Sorry, we can't keep calling it TGI's because it's just Fridays now, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know, I think it's called TGI's. I never took any notes, but that was beautiful as well. But Applebee's shocked me. You can get a meal deal thing for two people. So you can get one starter free, one meal for free. Everyone did that. So we had extras. The onion rings and everything were beautiful. It was dead in there. There was only like four tables filled up. But the food was perfect. It was a really good price as well. It was really cheap. I think we had four starters on the table, for example. I think, or three starters, I can't remember. No, three starters, four meals on the table. And it only come up to about $60.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So you think about it, and we didn't actually eat them all. We actually said we wish my mum and the two nieces were out there with us, because they could have ate most of that food as well. So between three people, $60, it could have been six people and it would have been cheap as anything. So that was good. Generally, that you got your McDonald's, your Popeyes, IHOP, obviously being my favorite place for pancakes. NBC Sports Grill. Loved the half a chicken in there. Always go and get that no matter what. Did my flights in there. Realised I can't stand IPAs. It's an acquired taste, but people like them. I don't. I like Norbis. Anything else you want to know?
Food cake. Yeah, well, obviously, we just mentioned you've been down in Tassel Drive and you've been to University, Disney, SeaWorld and all that. So, obviously, you didn't have a car hire because we haven't mentioned it. So what transportation did you use?
Well, Universal, if you're staying at the end of the Summers Resort, there is a free bus shuttle that takes you to City Walk and back. Starts early hours of the morning, finishes like, I think, 2 a.m. in the morning, something like that. I know John South is probably shouting right now at me because he knows the times, but I don't care about the times because I never had to worry about them. But when we were there as well, the bus stop area was actually getting redone. I was thinking, oh, maybe they're going to put some shelters up so when people are walking down, you know, they don't get wet. So end of the summers was put right down the other end. You might as well have been halfway down the bloody motorway to walk in. But that's how it goes, unfortunately. It did open towards the end to normal, and then someone's put slightly on the left. They've put, as far as I know, they've put no shelters up whatsoever now for the bus areas. So apart from the bit when you come down the escalators, you're going to get wet.
Well, it does rain quite a bit in Florida.
Yeah.
It's going to rain. Sit in a restaurant. Sit in a bar.
Yeah, but if you're on the way back and you're waiting for the bus, you can get caught out. You know how quick the rain comes out there. Right. 1 second it could be fine. The next minute it could be torrential. What did actually happen at Disney for us. Yeah. Other than that, we used Uber and the iTrolley.
There you go. So the iTrolley, you can get discounts for weekly passes. A bit unreliable at the moment. With the time scale and COVID and everything happening at the moment, but
there is a good, there's a great app to get if you want to know when it's showing up, because unlike England, when we have it sitting up there telling us how long our buses are going to be, we're very used to that now. It's called Next Bus. It'll be like a blue background and the front of a bus in white. It's brilliant. It works. It definitely works.
So we've done the transportation. We've covered most of your trip now. I think that's really all of it. So I've got one here, a question from Julie. That's my better half. She's asked me to ask you, what did you enjoy more, Christmas at Universal or HHN? I know what the answer is going to be, but she wants to know your personal opinion.
For God's sake, clearly it's Christmas. It really ain't. Now, Christmas is fun for the humidity to be gone and how quiet it was really getting around Universal. Disney, on the other hand, is a complete nightmare. I'll get into that. There's nothing on Halloween Horror Nights for me. It's horrible with the humidity, but once you get past the humidity, it's the greatest time of year to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, so there you go, Julie. Yeah, your question's been answered.
I'm not really, but in all fairness, people,
I think it is, what it all behind when the posters are behind us and behind myself.
And yeah, I think it's all. Just to clarify, I don't really like Christmas, full stop.
Yeah,
so I'm not a Christmas person.
So we put a post out on the social medias. We unfortunately only got one response. So thank you very much to the Incredible Wilsons.
Oh, did they? I didn't know, sir. Sorry, Gaz.
They have asked, name your top three rides at Islands of Adventure.
Oh, come on, he's making this too easy. Well, it's clearly everything in rides. It's clearly everything in Dr. Zeus.
Well, he wants to know what your top three
rides. We'll start from third, and the first being the best. Right, so number three, I'm going to go, I like a bit of a classic-y sort of feel as well. It makes me feel like Orlando, and it was there the year I first went. It'll be the Hogwarts Castle. It's just, I know it needs a bit of work done on it, but that was me back in Orlando, what I remember. in Universal. Number two,
the ride or just the atmosphere of getting in?
No, it's the whole thing. The ride, the queue's right. Brilliant as well.
Forbidden Journey.
Yeah. Then I move on to obviously my old number one, what used to be the Hulk. I still enjoy it, and obviously the new number one. I mean, if you haven't ridden this ride or what you're playing at, I mean, it's the Velocicoaster. I put a video on Twitter the moment I got off of it, how amazed I was by this ride. Just to let people know, because Melvin was disabled, we go up in a lift thing. What means we always had the option of sitting right at the front or right at the back. Views, you're right at the front. Beautiful views. If you want them G's and you really want to feel the speed of that ride, get to the back if you can. Oh, I love speed in that. So to me, I was in absolute heaven.
There you go. Back row, which is usually the case for all launch and thrill coasters, the back row. But I will find out in 4 weeks' time.
I don't know if you know this, but there's two different launches. That's all I'm going to say, but they have different speeds.
Yeah, we know. It's very similar to Icon at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. That's a double launch roller coaster as well.
The queue for it as well is really good. You seem to fly through the queue as well.
That's good. And there is not a secret locker, but there's a nice new locker system that should be used on every single roller coaster.
I'm surprised if they do that on the Mummy, if they can.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. Well, there's still no rumours of what happening with the Mummy, because it's now closed until summer, so that could be any time. Hopefully it's open for September. So
Gaz, if you're watching or listening, mate, Velocicoaster is the new king.
Right, well, I will try and second that in 4 weeks' time. So is there anything else from you, dude?
Let's quickly get into Disney.
Okay.
Oh my God! One day at Disney. So
I was going to try and avoid that, so you didn't upset people. But
I'm sorry. I'm truthful. I'm not on the press list, so I don't care. So Disney one day pass park hopping. We started at Hollywood Studios, fairly busy. We weren't getting on that new Star Wars ride without Genie, but we still, I believe, got quite a few rides done. Definitely trying to think of it. We got what's it called? The Aerosmith ride, I forgot its name all the time. That sounds really bad. This is how much I love Disney. Rockin' Roller Coaster, we got that done. I actually got soaked before I got on that. It was quite funny. We did Tower of Terror. Enjoyed that. There's a few more rides we did. We did obviously Star Tours. We did the Falcon ride, whatever it is at Star Wars. The Overrated Land. Yes, people, if you're listening, I don't like Star Wars. So just no feels for me. So it's nice. We didn't, if you want that thing, you either, there's two ways of doing it. You need to stay at a Disney hotel and get in early for the main ride. Other than that, you're going to probably have to get Disney Genie. Or if you've got enough time, choose a day when you're willing to line up for an hour to 2 hours long.
Yeah.
That's it. We went through Toy Story and it was all fun. We then finally got onto the Skyliner that opened up just as we left. That was like a ride of its own. So I enjoyed that. We did that straight over to Epcot. We only did one ride in it. I don't know, two rides maybe. Yeah, I think we did Nemo for some reason because it was empty. It was a walk on.
Okay.
And we did obviously the big golf ball. I would not give it its real name because the ride really needs to be shut down.
Technically, it should have been shut.
Yeah.
It should have been fully refilled, ripped out and restarted.
Epcot just looks like a building site right now with loads of boards up. Looks rubbish.
It's been like that for about 2 years now.
Yeah, but it was a quick walk around that. That was fine. Then we moved over to the Not Magical Kingdom.
No,
it's not controversial. It's not controversial. We got on a few rides there. We did Pirates Caribbean, quite a few actually in there. This is my gripe. So Disney pretend that they're scared of COVID and they want to have a few protocols, right? Indoors and that, wear your mask, it's fine. The fireworks show comes along. There's thousands of people. Obviously, a lot of people talk. We're tired as well because we've gone three parks in one day. We're all packed in like sardines. You know, if you turned around, you'd be touching someone any direction you went. Also, there's a little path bit near the castle to more like the all where how do I explain it? Where the bad futuristic stuff is. Yeah. And instead of blocking that bit off, they were letting people walk through the crowds who didn't want to be there. So instead of having different routes for people who may not want to watch the show, they thought to themselves, let's let everyone walk through one and upset everybody. We were accommodating. If there was kids behind us, we pushed them in front of us. By the end, everyone's, you know, you're meant to be behind the yellow lines in the lines. Everyone was on the path bit. So that's how busy it was. So me, I'm not personally too scared of the COVID stuff. I'm double vaxxed, well, treble vaxxed since I've got back. But I was astonished how Disney could just let everyone be like sardines, especially when Omicron was getting heard of out there as well. And they just let everyone pack together in a mood to watch the show. Problem with the show as well at certain angles is the trees.
Yeah, the new trees in the hall.
Yeah, you're getting blocked views now. I just thought the whole thing was a complete mess. So if you're in Magic Kingdom, though, and you don't want to watch the show, go and do the rides. Because the way I saw it, everyone was watching the show. And if we weren't there for one day, we would have gone off and done every single ride going possible. But Disney, for me, for a one-day thing, it's not worth it for one day. I wouldn't do Disney again one day. We are going back in 2022, people, so I don't hate Disney. And we have got a 14-day pass, so we can go park by park and take it a lot easier. So hopefully they can redeem themselves for me. And because if you love Disney, that's good for you. But for me, Universal, in December, were miles better than Disney. There's no way of putting it.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. That is going to draw an end to episode 25. So if you could do us a massive favour, if you could hit that thumbs up button, hit that subscribe button, and drop a comment down below with what your three favourite rides are at Islands of Adventure.
If you
could do us a favour, go over to Phil's YouTube channel.
Epic Phil, yeah.
YouTube. If you could follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and we're kind of on Facebook, well, not Facebook, but at Florida, at TF Pod. No, TF Project. Not Pod. And yeah.
Just a quick one. I am going to do a quick short after this. Basically, we did get an inbox message, and it's just been too long. So I'm going to quickly bring up a different video that will come out at the end of the week explaining about Endless Summers. Craig Willicks has asked me about it because he's thinking about booking. So we're going to stop recording this here, and then I'll do that quickly separately afterwards. And a week later, we'll release that one as well. So people, anybody's thinking of staying at the end of the summers, as he has asked it, I'd rather answer them questions, but it's not a 5-minute job.
Yeah, so I'll leave that to Phil because I've got no input into Emma. So if it was about Aventura, I could have you done.
Boring hotel.
That's your opinion. Nice and quiet away from all the kids.
Boring old man.
So thank you for watching again, guys, and we will see you very soon.
Goodbye.